Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and the phone lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. And this is day five of our focus on the book of Revelation and your invitation to call and keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have some personal issue you'd like to talk about, we'll call right now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And we're already into day five of our live series on the Revelation. And here to keep it going is Bob Christopher, who I know would like to join with me in welcoming Richard Piper back.
Well, yes, indeed. Richard, we are glad to have you back at the microphones today. Did you have a wonderful vacation?
I did.
One word before you said.
Yes, wonderful. It was relaxing. It was beautiful. We spent some time up in Canada, and the colors were magnificent.
Oh, I bet.
You know, there were times when I'd say to Lois, oh, take a picture of that. And she'd say, there's no way to take a picture of that. It's just too huge. But we did get lots of other pictures of smaller examples of color and all of that, but it was spectacular.
Well, it's actually a pretty amazing way to describe the book of Revelation.
Yes, the Revelation
of
fall.
Lots of pictures in the book of Revelation.
And all of them are so big, and yet they're just tiny little vignettes of what was going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Today we jump into chapter 4. The scene changes somewhat from the first three chapters, and we're invited into heaven, and John sees this door open into the heavens, and Jesus says, come. And so he, you know, is taken in the spirit, and we don't really know what all of that means. Ezekiel had a similar experience, and much of what Ezekiel wrote, John is just kind of writing as well. I mean, the visions are very similar. I think John stretches the imagination just a little bit further. But what we see in chapter 4 is this incredible vision of the throne of God and just the majesty of the throne of God. You know, God is spirit. He lives in unapproachable light. We have this idea that he's, you know, Gandalf the Wizard, you know, from that movie series, but he's not. He you know, we try to put flesh and blood on him, but God is spirit. We see this incredible light. I mean, it's so much so that, you know, when this New Jerusalem comes down, we're not going to have light. I mean, he will provide the light. He is it. And so John's eye is drawn immediately to this throne, and surrounding the throne are 24 other thrones with 24 elders sitting on these thrones. And, you know, just like human beings, we start to wonder, who are the 24? Give us names. Come on, John. Yeah. You know, tell us, who is this? Who are these that are so special that get to have a throne right beside the throne of God? It's kind of reminiscent of James and John's mother going to Jesus and said, let one sit on the right hand and one on the left. You know, we're like that. Who are these folks who have climbed the spiritual ladder and have achieved such greatness that they would sit in these thrones? But John doesn't identify the 24, and I don't think God revealed it to him as well, who those 24 are. Yep. And I think they're just representative of all of God's people worshiping God himself.
Yeah. Well, this is day five of our study of the Revelation. Hope you're enjoying and being edified by it. And if you have a question about it, well, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are pretty much wide open right now. So if you have something you'd like to discuss, whether it's on the Revelation or some other troubling issue in your life, perhaps a Bible question, well, this is a good opportunity, but we want you to call right now if you can. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Iberia, Louisiana, and talk with Paul. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, sir?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. Thank God the Lord's risen and Calvary happened. I'm a new person in Christ, and I got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind.
Well, fire away.
Okay, here we go. For a long time, I've been studying the Bible in general, obviously, and I've been coming closer and closer to God, as I keep studying. And I had something kind of shocking the other day. As far as I was translating the book of Revelations, the beast of future prophecy and the future Babylon seemed to fall like as if it was the United States. And being involved in somewhat with the Roman papacy somewhat coming together in some kind of religious or governmental type state. Recently, I heard someone actually say they interpreted it as it being Europe. Can I get your opinion on that?
Well, Paul, that's one of the troubles with the book of Revelation. We have the book of Revelation beside us, and then alongside of that we have the paper with all the current headlines, and we're trying to match the book of Revelation with what's happening in the world today. You know, there's lots of folks that do that would say that Europe, with its 10-member commonwealth, really fulfills some of what's written in the book of Revelation. But we just don't know that for sure. And when we get into that, I think we lose sight of what John and Jesus is trying to reveal to us in the book of Revelation. As we've mentioned from the very beginning of this study, Revelation is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants us to see Jesus in his victorious state that he's in right now. We close the gospel accounts with Jesus hanging on a cross, and then we see a few little snippets of him in his resurrected state. But here we get to see him after he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. We see the victory that he won for us. And that victory is
the Lord of Lords.
That's exactly right. And that victory gives us hope and encouragement for what we might face right now. As we abide in Christ, we experience the victory that he won for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the message that God wants us to take from this book. I think when we start trying to match up current events, and Richard, you were involved in a church that tried to do that and calculated the date of Jesus's return, and you missed it. That church missed it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, sometime in 1844,
yes.
Was that?
October
22, 1844. That's when the Seventh-day Adventist core leadership team had calculated Christ's return. And when he didn't come back that day, they recalculated, and then they recalculated again. But they're not the only ones that have been involved in date setting. There have been many other groups that have tried to do that. Harold Camping, the most recent, trying to date the return of Christ. And folks invested millions and millions of dollars into his, end of the world campaign, so to speak. And then, you know, when Jesus didn't come back, you know, there's egg on the face and there's all this sort of stuff. And what that shows you, we just miss the message. The message is
Absolutely.
About Jesus. And so I would just encourage you, Paul, to really let the Spirit of God kind of open your eyes to the powerful vision of Jesus that's contained in that book of Revelation, and the comfort that you can have here and now as a result.
Well, I got one last statement. I can't wait till his return, and I appreciate the answer, man, and I appreciate y'all's show. He can't come soon enough. Praise God. Thank y'all very much.
I'm with you there, Paul, most definitely. Hey, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We have a great little booklet we're offering this month called Our Guaranteed Future, and it's just an overview of the book of Revelation. Love to put it in your hands, okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You hang on, Paul.
And Bob and Richard, for our listeners who would like to get a copy of that booklet, it's available for a gift of any amount, and it's a support and kind of underlines our study of the Revelation. As Bob, you said, our guaranteed future is what it's called, but it's yours for a generous gift of any amount. And for a very generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both the booklet and our CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. Just visit basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 to make the donation of your choice and receive your booklet and your CD series.
Yes, indeed. And Richard is uniquely qualified to bring a message on the book of Revelation. He had quite a history with that book and the church that he grew up in and was a minister in that particular mm-hmm. church. There was a lot of fear, a lot of legalism, a lot of bondage that you experienced as a result of kind of your interpretation of Revelation. But when you came to a point and really learned about Jesus Christ himself, about the grace of God, this new covenant that we're in today, it changed the book of Revelation almost as if it had been rewritten.
Oh, completely rewritten. It's one of those books where, given what I used to believe, I never really read the book. I never really read this letter. I would go through it and say, oh, I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is. Well, now, when it starts, the very first sentence, the revelation of Jesus Christ, when it starts with that and you come back and you say, well, Lord, what is it you're trying to reveal about yourself to me in this particular passage? Because, yeah, I don't know what it means. And rather than being afraid of not knowing what it means, I can say, well, Lord, what would you have me to understand at this point in my life and my relationship with you? And it becomes a peaceful, joyful, encouraging, hopeful look at a guaranteed future.
Absolutely. Like on our previous broadcast, Leah from the New York area called and scared to death, wondering if she was going to be one of the ones left behind. Mm-hmm. She articulated her testimony in Christ extremely well. Very clear. She believes in her heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. She's confessed with her mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet, this book of Revelation was a very scary book to her because she wasn't sure. But that's not the message at all. It is a message of hope. It is a message of assurance. You see that in the messages to the seven churches, how God is trying to plant people's feet and the churches into the grace of God and to assure them of all that is theirs as a result of Christ's victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think when we see it in those terms, the book of Revelation becomes one of the most comforting, encouraging, hopeful books in the Word of God because we see the victory. You know, before it's like, oh no, we're just looking at a battle, but we go to the other side. We're in the locker room of the Super Bowl champs, and we're seeing the victory and the celebration take place in the worship that is going on and every knee bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it is a wonderful book, and I think one of the most assuring books and comforting books that we can ever embrace. And, you know, this chapter 4, again, I think we really get a solid picture of that, this God that we worship is truly one who is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. And when we worship him, that is when our souls are most satisfied, because that is the conflict in this world today. Where will our allegiances lie? Where will we direct our worship? Because we're going to worship something. We're created beings. God has created us to worship. That's why commandment number one is, have no other gods before me. Why? Because our natural tendencies are to worship something other than God. And that's the result of sin that came into this world and death. But our ultimate worship needs to go to God because he's the only one worthy of it. Money's not worthy of our worship, yet we bow down and pay homage to it all the time. relationships aren't worthy of our worship, yet we bow down to sex and to relationships, and there's drugs and there's alcohol and all of these things that we worship. We don't think we're worshiping them, but those things are controlling us. Those things are shaping us and forming the way we live. But when we worship God, we have the one who loves us to mold us and shape us and direct us. And that's when we're most satisfied. And that's what this is all about. We see that our God is worthy of our worship and our praise. And when we understand that, it changes our perspective on the things of this world, and it shows forth a new perspective on how we live our day-to-day lives.
Absolutely. Well, time on the clock and open lines, friends, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and talk to Rodney, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WBRI. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
I have a question. In the book of Hebrews, where it talks about their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. I guess my question is, was he just talking about the children of Israel, or was he talking about everybody?
Well, he was talking about everybody, and specifically about the covenant people of God, those who come to Christ by faith. You know, our sins have been taken away. The blood of Jesus has removed them once and for all. They've been judged guilty. They've been punished. Jesus Christ took the punishment for us. So there's nothing more to do with in regards to sin. Everything that could have been done was done in the person of Christ. So as a result of that, God remembers them no more. In other words, they're not the center of his attention. We are. The people of God, that's what takes up God's thinking and God's purposes. It's a great truth, isn't it, Rodney, to know that our sins have been taken away. There's no more sacrifice for sin. And what God wants us to realize is that there's this new life that we have in Jesus. And if we're constantly focused on sin, we're going to miss out experiencing that new life. So he wants us to shift our focus from being sin conscious to being life conscious, being Jesus focused, Jesus centered. And when we are, we can experience all that he has for us. Does that make sense
to
you, Rodney?
Yeah.
So, Rodney, you're a forgiven person. Your sins have been forgiven once and for all. There's no condemnation for you. And the great promise of this new covenant is that God remembers your sins no more.
Yeah, that's excellent news. Good to hear that.
As Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, believe it and be happy. That's worth being happy. That's worth being happy over, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, sure appreciate your call. Great question today. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, and I think it'll be a big help to you, because we actually say to really understand the book of Revelation, we have to understand the new covenant. The book of Revelation basically rests on the four promises of the new covenant. It's this new covenant that really explains the victory that we have in Christ. And we see that victory in vivid detail in the book of Revelation. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Rodney. And thank the Lord that your sins have been forgiven once and for all. Let's go out to John in San Francisco listening to us on KDIA. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, I just love your show, by the way. I just want to let you guys know that.
Well, thank you.
Yes. My question is, I'm saved, and there's a verse in the Bible, I don't know if it's in Romans, I think it's in John, once you call on the Lord, you're saved, and you call the name of the Lord. Is it Romans or John's? I'm not sure.
Well, in Romans 10, it talks about he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes, that's
And there's actually a passage in Acts that says much the same thing.
Okay, now my question is this. I always tell a lot of people about the Lord, and I say, and they'll tell me, they says, I know God, I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But then I say to them, I says, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I says, would you accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Well, I don't have to do that. I know that. I know that I'm going to heaven. What do I tell somebody like that?
Well, John, I think what I would do in a situation like that is to say, you know, you must be born again. That it's not about just believing some facts. It's about new birth. A new birth grants you entry into the kingdom of God and gives you a place in his presence eternally. So I would talk about the fact that you must be born again, and that new birth comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the believing, the accepting, the receiving of him. Lots of times we mistake kind of belief with faith, and what I mean by that is we look at belief as simply agreeing to a series of facts. Yeah, I believe this. I believe this to be true. I believe this to be true. And, you know, it's just like I believe Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States and George Washington was the first president.
Yeah.
Those are facts, and I believe them to be true, but they don't demand a response on my behalf. The gospel demands a response, and that response is faith, and through faith we are saved by grace, and that's when we go from death to life. And I think I would really put it on those terms. Salvation isn't about going to heaven when you die. It's about going from death to life here and now.
Well, even sometimes I tell them, Bob, I say, do you want to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? I says, I know you have to be born again. Well, I don't need all of that. I just know that I'm going to heaven. So where are they going to end up? They're going to end up not going to heaven with that kind of attitude, I'm assuming. I don't know.
Well, if they've never been born again, they're not going to enter into the kingdom. I mean, it's just that simple. We have to be born into the family of God. That's why new birth is essential in Christ Jesus. So, and that new birth comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. So I would just focus on the life issue, the fact we're dead spiritually and that we need life. That's our real problem. We try to think of our problem as simply sins that need to be forgiven, but it goes deeper. Sin brought death. We come into this world separated from God. That's what spiritual death is. There's only one way to be made alive, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And I think when you put it on those terms, I think people can see the real issue at hand.
Well, I had a fellow, he says, well, I'm just an old heathen. He says, but I know the Lord is love anyways. He says, so I know I'm going to heaven. He says, I don't have to be the born again thing or the saved thing, what everybody talks about. He says, I'm an old heathen. He says, but the Lord knows that I'm a sinner and I'll go to heaven even though I'm a heathen.
Well, I don't think you will.
Well,
let me do this, John. We have a CD called Drive the Stake. Let me send it to you, and you pass it on to your friend, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, John. You hold on.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for Basic Gospel today. And we close with the reminder that your support keeps Basic Gospel coming, and your help is absolutely vital to this broadcast. To thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with your gift of any amount, you'll receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But something very special for your generous donation of $50 or more, you'll get not only the booklet, you'll receive the 8-message CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. It's a great way to help keep the Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time gain greater understanding of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit our website, basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or our website at basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list. You'll receive the day-by-day preview, a synopsis of each day's look at the revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll instantly be added and ready for the next exciting study tomorrow at the same time. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.